Chris Meyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully they're going to be the views of Dr. Marilyn Singleton. This evening we're going to be talking about Obamacare and what this is really going to mean to you. But I will tell you, one of the things Obamacare is going to mean is there going to be a drastic cutback in full-time employment. There are about 3.2 million people that work in the fast food industry. The margin of profit in fast food is really pretty slim. A lot of the units make $50,000, $100,000 a year. And if they have to buy Obamacare of medical insurance on all their employees, there just won't be any profit left at all. And so what they're going to do is that they cut back the number of hours that people work. In other words, basically, if you work over 30 hours a week, why, they have to provide insurance. But if you cut people back to 29 hours a week, you don't have to buy health insurance on them. And we're talking about 3.2 million jobs are going to be cut back to certainly 29 hours a week. And then, of course, if you have over 50 employees, why, of course, you're going to have to provide the insurance for them. So a lot of people at companies are suddenly going to cut back to 49 employees. And unfortunately, there are going to be all sorts of complications. A lot of people are going to lose work, have lower incomes. And we're going to have really distress in America with Obamacare. And there are going to be all sorts of complications. But with us on the line is Dr. Marilyn Singleton, who's an anesthesiologist. She's on the staff at the University of California. She is president or past president of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. Dr. Singleton, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Just a correction, I wasn't president of AAPS, and I'm no longer UCSF, just so honesty in reporting.
All right, fine. Well, under any circumstances, why, of course, you're affiliated with the AAPS, and it's a good organization I was with for many years. And basically, we're going to talk about Obamacare. So why don't you just pick up and explain to our listeners why this is going to be a disaster?
To begin with, the name of it, the Affordable Care Act, is such a sham. It's just truly a joke because it's not affordable. As an example, when Medicare was started, they said that Medicare was going to cost $10 billion. What did it cost last year? $543 billion. That they have been off in these calculations by so much, and everybody knows that the government can't afford it, and as I was just listening to you, the people can't afford it. Already the premiums have gone up in some cases as high as 17%. And people have figured it out, that nothing is free. When you say, oh, now you'll get free preventive care, someone pays for it. Free doesn't just drop out of the sky.
Well, my concern is an awful lot of physicians are going to have to drop out of medical practice because basically they're talking about dramatic cuts in payment to doctors. I mean, most people think doctors are rich. Well, maybe when I was practicing medicine, some of them were, but most of them are not rich today. And suddenly they're going to cut back dramatically on the payment to hospitals. So where's the money coming from? Well, they're just going to have to raise everybody else's fees. That's what it's going to be about because hospitals can't operate a loss. But that's going to drive up the cost of health insurance, and of course, there's going to be real problems. We're talking about well over 100 million people on Medicare and Medicaid, and the number is simply growing. Our guest is Dr. Marilyn Singleton. We're going to be talking about Obamacare, and we'll be back in just a moment right here at Radio Liberty.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Dr. Marilyn Singleton, and she's an anesthesiologist and practices in the Bay Area and was on the staff at the University of California. Apparently, she's not at the present time, but basically, we're talking about Obamacare. And she says, basically, of course, what's going to happen is they're going to no longer will there be a doctor-patient relationship and privacy of your records. Your records will have to be put out electronically. They'll be up in the Internet for anybody who wants to look at them. Certainly, government is going to have access to all anything private or personal you ever tell a doctor. And then, of course, we are going to have these advisory boards are going to come along, and they're going to tell the doctor how to take care of patients in the future. Now, are they going to suddenly ration access to health care? Well, they don't tell you that, but remember, they're going to have to actually have a cost-effective system. In other words, basically, they're only going to have so much money, and they cannot allow suddenly indiscriminate treatment of the elderly, the infirmed, and many people in the Alzheimer's group, in the AIDS group, children who are organizations that take care of disabled children or deficient children. They are all concerned that we're going to have rationing down the line. And I will tell you, we are going to have rationing down the line because that's what they're doing in England today. As we mentioned just a moment ago, over in England, they're killing about 120,000 people in England. Remember, they only have a population of somewhere between 40 or 50 million people, depending upon whether you include Ireland, whether you include Scotland and Wales in the number. But basically, if you go up in the internet, you can check this out. Go up into the internet and simply type in killing 120,000 people per year, British hospital system killing 120,000 a year. You'll find it's really true. We talk to people in England regularly. I do a program there every Wednesday, and basically people in England are afraid to go to the hospital when they get older because they feel they'll never come out alive, and this, I believe, is a very real fear. The people who are putting together this program are not concerned. They think there are too many older people. And basically, there's no way they can afford the system that they have now, and they're going to have to do away with the elderly. It's just exactly what they're doing in England, and it's going to happen here as well. Do you really think a bureaucrat back in Washington, D.C. will care about you or your parents? Go right ahead, Dr. Singleton.
This, I think, is clear when you look at the law that it was not written for patients. It was written for bureaucrats. The fact that so much of the law is written as amendments to the Internal Revenue Code and that it wasn't written as a plain-speaking law. We're going to do this, 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 and this. Instead, multiple provisions in the old Social Security Act were amended and added to where nobody really knows what it's doing. One of the programs that was supposed to be in the healthcare law called the CLASS Act, which was a long-term care program, Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, actually put that on hold. Because after they actually looked at it and looked at the parameters of the program, they saw that there was no way it was financially sustainable. So yet again, here was something that was supposed to help people who couldn't afford long-term care insurance, and it sounded good for the politicians, but nothing was really ever worked out to finance it.
And I think the most frightening thing to me is the fact that none of our members of Congress read this. In fact, Nancy Pelosi's famous statement, we're going to have to pass this legislation to find what's in it. It was presented certainly shortly before they were asked to read it, to vote on it. There were over 2,000 pages, 2,005 or 700 pages. Nobody could understand it because it was all written in legalese, amending this legislation and changing that previous legislation. Nancy Pelosi didn't know what was in it. It certainly wasn't written by President Obama. It was written by the people who want to control your medical care and the medical care of your parents. And believe me, there are people who believe there are too many people in the world today. And I really feel that this will be an excellent way, as they are doing in England today, to eliminate the elderly. And since I'm 84 years of age, why, I'm very, very well, one day have to just decide I'm not going to the hospital because I want to come out alive. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, already we're having in certain parts of our country hospice care. They call it comfort care. And what do they do for comfort care? They just take away food and water. Now, fortunately, in most areas, they're not doing that, but they are in some areas right here, not too far from where I live. But go right ahead.
Everything you say is so true, and one of the things that bothers me, and this is true of all laws, but particularly we have examples with Obamacare, that we have to go beyond just what is written in the law. We have to look at the regulations, and the example of the contraceptive mandate shows you what the regulations can do. There's nothing about contraceptives being preventive care in the law. And then you let the government bureaucrats then decide, okay, well, what should we make preventive care? And then they pull contraception out of a hat. Whether you believe it should be or shouldn't be isn't my point. The point is the regulations have not been written, and they can put anything they want in there, and we won't know.
I agree with you totally. I mean, why are we handing out contraceptives to 13 and 14-year-old girls? And yet, they're basically, they can demand, because they can give contraceptives to people, to children, and basically to adults. Basically, the doctors are required to give them. They're going to be provided and paid for by the employers. And a lot of employers say, we don't believe in premarital sex. This is against our religious beliefs. But that doesn't matter when the bureaucrat tells you to do things. You do it or else you will face fines or perhaps even something far worse. Whenever you allow the government to come in and regulate any aspect of our lives, whether it be in farming or whether it certainly be in mining or whether it be in labor relations, you leave yourself open to bureaucratic control. And I think this is one of the most frightening things, because the doctor is no longer going to be able to do what he wants to for his patient. In fact, the stipulation is that if the doctor does not treat the patient the way he is told by these advisory boards, he will certainly be subject to fines and even imprisonment. That is incredible. Go right ahead.
Yes, it is. And already the way they are inching in under the guise of quality of care, even though we still don't know exactly how this quality is measured, that it began as doctors getting a bonus if they could show their care had more quality. Now it's subtracting money from the payment if you can't show you have more quality. And interestingly, there was a recent article written where someone had evaluated some of these parameters of quality. And what it came down to when they were looking at patient satisfaction, the patients were looking at the softness of the pillows and the mattresses, which, of course, really has nothing to do with how well their surgeon did or the fact that they didn't get an infection or whatever, the true measures of quality. So I just don't know where they're going with this. And if we're going to rely on if a patient thought the bed was comfy, to determine if a doctor is going to get paid his full fee for doing surgery, then we're in real trouble.
Well, now, what's going to happen to the hospitals? Because my understanding, they're not only going to cut back. Initially, it was 25% on the doctors and 25% on the hospitals. Most of the hospitals are operating at a loss. How can they possibly, I know, cut back on what they're paying the hospitals? And how will they determine how much they're going to pay the hospitals for government patients?
The government determines what they're going to pay, and they always have, and the payments have gotten lower and lower and lower every year. And it's to the point where this is what's so disturbing, is doctors are limiting the number of Medicare patients in their practice, and they're limiting taking any more Medi-Cal patients because it becomes unaffordable. Many visits don't even cover the malpractice for the visit.
And I think people really have to understand that more and more doctors are going to drop out of medicine. And then don't worry, well, then they'll just have nurses look after you. Or maybe they'll simply bring in physician's assistants. And if they can't get enough of them here, they can bring them in from Mexico or, as they have in England, Pakistan. In fact, it's said that when you go to a hospital in England today, you have a hard time certainly finding a doctor who speaks English. They have a lot of Pakistan and Indian doctors there. People can't imagine something like that happening in America. But I would ask, well, why not? Certainly, our country is turned against God. Why should we be surprised when we would have cataclysmic changes in America? Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. You have a question for our guest, Dr. Marilyn Singleton. But you go right ahead. What's going to happen to anesthesia? I mean, certainly, will you be able to... But they'll cut your fees another 25% as well, won't they?
Oh, I'm sure they will. One of the things that bothers practitioners who have to use a lot of medications is having the government determine that they'll only pay for certain medications, even though you know that something in a particular patient just is slightly better for them. And when I'm the one trying to take care of the patient, I want to use the best drug.
But you're not going to be allowed to, because, of course, this is all going to be directed from Washington, D.C. by a bureaucrat who's never even seen the patient.
That's right. And yes, you might do a study that shows 99% of the time drug X is the best and is a good price. But what about that 1% of patients? And if I'm the 1% patient, I want the other drug used on me.
And ladies and gentlemen, I've worked in, at least this was coming in while I was leaving medicine 20 years ago. And basically people would tell me how long I could keep the patient in the hospital. And I would have to argue, you know, with these somebody in Washington or New York, you know, whether I could keep the patient in the hospital another day to watch them.
Your body is composed of literally trillions of cells. Cells are the building blocks of energy and performance for your health and for the life you want to live. Nutritional Therapeutics, a trusted manufacturer of vitamin supplements, understands that when cells aren't operating at optimum levels, one of the immediate signs is an increase in fatigue. Propax is a daily multiple vitamin enhanced with our proprietary formula called NT Factor. Less fatigue equals more natural energy. Propax with NT Factor addresses cellular damage and gives you health from nature, energy from science. Call today at 1-800-982-9158. Try Propax with NT Factor. Call 1-800-982-9158. Order yours today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure, or prevent any disease.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Okay,
Well, I said, this is Dr. Stan, and I was asking Dr. Singleton about when the Christus Obamacare comes in, whether and who would make the decision as to whether or not an older patient would get an open heart surgery or whether they get a hip replacement, something of that sort. Dr. Singleton said that already those decisions are being made by bureaucrats. How does that work? Does the people on Medicare, or does the doctor have to check before he goes ahead and schedules a patient for a surgical procedure today?
Yes, for many procedures, that's how it has to be done. And whatever the checklist says, that this is okay and the person has the criteria, that they've had pain for X number of months, et cetera, then it's approved. Now, mind you, a doctor can always do whatever he wants, obviously, within good medical care on the patient. Where the government issue comes in is he won't get paid for it. And many a time a physician has done something for free, but you can't run your whole practice that way, of course. So patients have to know, and there are surgery centers, not in our area, but in some other states, that are done completely on a cash basis, and the patients know that beforehand, but the price is reasonable. Instead of $100,000 for a hip, it's $5,000. That the people who run these surgery centers run it like a good business, and they take very good care of the patient.
And I think that's incredible, but you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, it is the government, of course, that's running up the cost because, of course, the hospital or the doctor has to charge a great deal more to get anything out of them. In other words, when I had my heart surgery, I think the surgeon charged $11,000. I suspect he got about $2,000, and it was certainly worth every cent of it. And I certainly would have paid it myself if the government hadn't. But he had to bill that amount, unfortunately, if he does the same surgery on a non-Medicare patient, why, he is going to have to charge them $11,000 too, which is because the government will actually put him in prison if he charges certainly a private patient less than he charges a Medicare patient, even though the Medicare doesn't pay what the doctor charges. That's madness.
It is. It is. And the old days, the good old days, where a doctor could make that decision when a patient walked in the door and they knew the family circumstances and could say, gee, I'm going to do this on you for X dollars, even though I'm going to do it on somebody else for something else, because they're not in dire straits. They're not unemployed. They have a good job, so I'll charge my usual fee. It's really taken that individualized, not only individualized care, but that special individual relationship that we like to have with the patient.
And I think people, we saw this in our own family. Oh, when my son suddenly had some sort of a breathing attack, asthma attack, went down to the emergency room. Actually, he was feeling pretty good by the time he got there, but they said, well, you might as well come in. We'll check you over. And he got the bill for about $2,500. He was there for about an hour. $2,500. And, of course, his insurance, which he has, wouldn't pay anywhere near that, so he had to go in the hospital. And the hospital actually accepted about a quarter of what they'd actually billed. This is the way the system works today, ladies and gentlemen. And the average individual doesn't understand the reason prices have skyrocketed is because of the government interference in the practice of medicine. Take the practice, get the government out of it. You can run the hospitals ever so much more cheaply. You can get, I think, a far better quality of health care. And yet, of course, the American people think they're getting something for nothing. Go along with all of these government programs. And Medicare worked very well initially. I remember when I first got in practice, Medicare came in. I said, it's not going to work. They said, of course it's going to work. Why, we'll pay doctors regular and customary fees. The fees, we have nothing to worry about. We will pay you your regular fee. Don't worry about it. We want good care for the patients. And, you know, they told the truth. Absolutely. They paid regular fees to the doctors and the hospitals, just like they said they would. The only trouble is they didn't tell you how long they were going to do it. And, of course, then, of course, came the reality of what this was all about. Government bureaucrats are paid to lie. And they lie, and they lie, and they lie, and it's incredible that people are so foolish as to believe them. But, of course, then they retire, and the next people come on, and everything changes. We're heading towards the destruction of the private practice of medicine, and I personally believe that there's an awful lot of people are going to die unnecessarily in America because of Obamacare, affordable health care. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295, and we'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Marilyn Singleton.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Dr. Marilyn Singleton. Dr. Singleton, do you have a website or anything you'd like to put out so people who are concerned might be able to get in touch with you?
Yes. Go to aapsonline.org. And this is the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And this organization's goal is to protect the patient-doctor relationship and the private practice of medicine.
That's aaps.org, and they're a good organization, and certainly
aapsonline.org.
aapsonline.org, okay.
Yes.
Oh, it's an excellent organization. Well, basically, Sydney, when does the Obamacare really get started now? Is it already started or does it start next year?
Some of the things have already gone into effect. Of course, what they did was put the good things that no one could argue with, in effect, first, the pre-existing conditions for children and free preventive care, so everyone would think it was wonderful. And then this year, that's where some of the preventive care for Medicaid patients comes in, and some of the increased taxes come in. And then 2014, that's when the famous mandate tax penalty will start. And that's where it's going to get very scary.
And that's, of course, basically people have to understand that if you are an employer and you don't provide health care for your employee, why, of course, you're going to be fined $2,000 a year. Now, basically, of course, there are 3.2 million jobs in the fast food industry, and certainly these companies do not make a lot of money. The average franchise will make $50,000 to $100,000 a year. And so if you're going to have to put out $2,000 additional for each of your 50 employees, why, there's all your profit gone. Or for each of your 25 employees, there's your profit for the year. So basically, of course, what they are going to have to do is they're going to have to get these people working less than 30 hours a week. And if you have them less than 30 hours a week, why, you don't have to provide them with Obamacare. So basically what you're going to do is put a lot of people, force the employers to put them on part-time work. And I think this is going to have a profound impact. And then, of course, if you they can also get you on the number of employees. If you have over 50 employees, you have to provide Obamacare. So they're going to cut back to 49 people. They call them the 49ers. They're the corporations. They're going to cut the number of employees so they don't have to put out an additional $2,000 a year for each patient. And a lot of companies provide some form of health care for their employees today, but they're going to have to drop that because, of course, it's only partial health care. And the Obama health care is extremely expensive because it requires all sorts of things, mental health care and contraceptives and medicines and all sorts of programs that is intentionally designed to run up the cost of health care. Would that be a fair assessment, do you think?
I think you hit the nail on the head. And our big thing is not only government, but getting the concept of having a third party pay for everything. Then the patients don't realize what something costs, what it's really worth, because it's like the last fellow's emergency room visit for $9,000. If somebody knew he was paying for it and that bill wasn't going straight to the insurer, that bill would have been about $350.
And that may be all that the federal government's going to pay for it. But the next person, if they don't have insurance, is going to have to put out $9,000. And you say that's madness? But ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world gone mad today. So basically, this is going to have a profound impact upon healthcare in Sydney. It's going to actually create a lot more part-time workers. I think it's going to have a devastating effect on employers because they're going to simply not hire the number of employees, going to find alternatives as far as Sydney. So they won't have to get to 50 employees. And I think this is going to really influence the job market, don't you?
Oh, definitely. And there's so many studies now that have already said that people are hanging in there at the 49 employees. The thing is, you know that after that happens, they are going to start to creep the number down. Suddenly it'll be 30 employees, then 20, then 10. So no one will be spared.
And I think this is really a devastating situation. Well, let's see if we can get to Gloria. This may be Gloria calling from Spokane, Washington. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-295. Gloria, do you have a question?
Yes, I do have a question. Concerning this Obamacare, when a person reaches the age of being eligible to get Medicare and they feel that they have good private insurance, should they opt to spend the extra money to get Medicare? Do you suggest that in relation to this Obamacare, which I'm sorry, I don't really quite understand?
Oh, you have asked a question that will shock you when I give you the answer, that patients can't opt out of Medicare without losing their Social Security benefits.
Basically, what you, Gloria, you cannot, if you are 65, you cannot keep your private health care. You cannot buy private health care. You cannot maintain private health care. You have to go on Medicare so that they can control you. That's the reality of this. You cannot buy private health insurance.
Are you saying...
Yes.
Wait a minute. This blows my mind. Are you saying that when my husband and me reach age 65, that we are not going to be allowed to keep our private health care insurance, that, you know, he was a federal worker, and he's not going to be able to keep Blue Shield Blue Cross federal workers' insurance?
Well, no, basically, does he have federal insurance at the present time?
Yes.
I don't know. Certainly for the private sector, no. What about the government employees? Do you know anything about that, Dr. Singleton?
There have been some minor changes with Obamacare, and it depends on the kind of insurance program you have. Now, what happens to your private, it's then used as a supplemental insurance. But the real key is you can't completely opt out of Medicare. And when you start taking Social Security benefits, they will automatically take out your Medicare premium. And so that will just come out of your Social Security check. And if you say, I don't want Medicare, then they have to say, well, then you don't get your Social Security check either. And there was a court case, big case, just last year. And in fact, they were federal employees who were the plaintiffs in the case. And they were suing because they wanted their Social Security money, but they didn't want Medicare. And in fact, what the regulation, this is my old friend, the regulation, says that not only will you not get your future Social Security, they'll take away the Social Security money they had given you if you opt out of Medicare.
So there you have it, Gloria. Basically, the government is not going to allow you to determine your own health care. A bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. is going to decide whether you live or whether you die.
Okay, well, I am very thankful that you have this person on there tonight, because I think the general population does not understand really the ramifications of what happens, what's going to happen.
No, they don't. And this is one of the things when they go on and on about, oh, we have to save Medicare and save some money. One of the big ways they could save money is let people opt out of it, and then that would be, if you have your private insurer pay for your care, then the government wouldn't have to. But like Dr. Stan says, it doesn't even make sense to not let somebody opt out, that it makes you believe that they don't really care about your medical care. They care more about control.
And that's what it's all about, Gloria. This is the reality. We have people who have no human compassion at all. Well, they want to control, and believe me, Medicare is going to be a disaster, and they're going to let the elderly die. And in Great Britain, after which this program is actually patterned, why in Great Britain today, why they're killing 120,000 people a year. But don't take what I'm saying. Gloria, promise me you'll get on the Internet and just type in your search engine, England kills 120,000 people in hospital yearly, and find out if what I'm telling is true. And if it is, get out in the street corner and start screaming, okay?
One more thing to worry about.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
God bless. Okay, fine. And basically, I think a lot of these things are so impossible for people to believe. This couldn't happen in America, where we have freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have freedom. And in my estimation, we've been taken over for a long time. The American people just haven't found out yet, and it hasn't affected them. When it does, then they get a little upset. They get a little upset when they understand we have more people in prisons in America today than any other nation in the world. One in every 33 adults in America today is in prison, probation, or parole. One out of every three young black men between 21 and 31 in America today is in prison, probation, or parole. And there's a reason for that, and I won't get into that right now, but it has nothing to do with the color of their skin. It has to do with their genetic makeup and the fact that they have been live in areas where they have water that's fluoridated with hydrofluosilicic acid. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question at all for Dr. Marilyn Singleton, we're talking about the nightmare that really begins next year when Obamacare becomes a reality. So basically, of course, is there any certainty, pressure at all in Washington, D.C. to do away with Obamacare, or should we just simply sit back and say it's inevitable? We're going to have to let them do to us what they want to.
The Congress has already voted to repeal it. However, the Senate has not taken it up. And they, of course, won't. Harry Reid isn't interested in taking that up. And even if the Senate passed it, President Obama would obviously not sign the bill to repeal it.
But if the House of Representatives refused to appropriate the money for it, and they could simply say, we will not appropriate the money, the system wouldn't work.
That's very true. That's something that they could do. We'll just see whether they will.
And I think, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand, there are a lot of people there in the House of Representatives who pretend to be good Americans and good patriots, but they're really not. It's all smoke and mirrors. There are lots of things they could do, but of course they don't do it. They say all the right things, they do all the wrong things, and then we scratch our heads and say, why are these things happening? Well, ladies and gentlemen, you just need to keep listening to Radio Liberty and we'll tell you. Basically, of course, do we have any idea, certainly, of what the age is that they're going to cut off the availability of surgery? Will they have the capacity down the line to cut off, say, open-heart surgery for somebody who's 90 years of age? And certainly, people will say, well, they're going to die very soon anyway. Is there any way of knowing or what's going to happen? Or if it does happen, what can people do about it?
That's the problem. We don't know. It's certainly something like that is not written in the law, but when the rules come out, there was actually a recent win for the sorts of folks that we're talking about. There was a rule that said that Medicare wouldn't pay for a patient to go into a skilled nursing facility if there was no sign that they were going to improve to some sort of better functional status. And various groups sued the government and said there are people who still need skilled nursing, even though they may not improve to whatever your standard of a good functional status is. And before the case could actually go full out in court, the government settled with the plaintiff and said that they would allow an individual who needed skilled nursing to go whether or not they were going to functionally improve. So that's a win for our side. Now, how long that will last once 2014 comes, and particularly 2015, when the Independent Payment Advisory Board comes into play, they may actually override this. So we don't know. But people are out there watching out for this. This isn't a myth. It's not a scare tactic. And this lawsuit shows how many people, apparently there were several hundred thousand people that had been denied skilled nursing care based on the government's functional improvement standard. So this has now been overturned, and it's just like what you said to Gloria. All we can do is get out there and shout from the street corners and tell people what you've learned, what you know, so they'll start paying attention.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Judy, who's calling us from Washington. I'll ask Rich just to pass her over here so we can get Judy on before we run out of time. And certainly, hi, Judy. How are you doing? Do you have a question or comment?
I'm I'm doing pretty good, getting over pneumonia, but I'm
okay. Well, I'll tell you what, so many people are ill, you know, with the flu, coming down with it. And of course, the reason we get the flu and pneumonia this time of year is because we don't have sunshine. And basically, I certainly, if you need to be taking large doses of vitamin D, to vitamin D3. And basically, the people in the southern hemisphere get this, I think, 6 months from now, they'll be getting the flu and pneumonia, and it all has to do with vitamin D levels. So get, basically, my wife has been feeling a little ill. I'm taking a great deal of vitamin D3 right now because I have a speaking engagement this weekend, and I want to be in good shape. But when you start to come down with something, get lots of D3 and the other things in to boost your immune system. That's your best protection. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I have a comment. I was listening to your program on my way home, and I needed to clarify something for your caller. Medicare Part A, which is a hospital part of Medicare coverage, is mandatory, and you're automatically put on that when you reach retirement age or after 48 months being on Social Security disability.
That's such an important point. Thank you for bringing that out, Judy.
And
go ahead.
Medicare Part B is still optional. And for federal Blue Cross Blue Shield employees, we're talking it's called FED 102 or 201, they can elect to have that as their supplement. They can also elect to opt in to Medicare Part B.
I think that's such a hold that thought, but I think you're absolutely right. And there's a difference between the hospital part and the medical part of it. Hold on, we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Your body is composed of literally trillions of cells. Cells are the building blocks of energy and performance for your health and for the life you want to live. Nutritional Therapeutics, a trusted manufacturer of vitamin supplements, understands that when cells aren't operating at optimum levels, one of the immediate signs is an increase in fatigue. Propax is a daily multiple vitamin enhanced with our proprietary formula called NT Factor. Less fatigue equals more natural energy. Propax with NT Factor addresses cellular damage and gives you health from nature, energy from science. Call today at 1-800-982-9158. Try Propax with NT Factor. Call 1-800-982-9158. Order yours today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure, or prevent any disease. There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
moment here, and we'll be right back. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest, Dr. Marilyn Singleton, and Dr. Singleton says that everybody has to pay attention. Just go ahead and complete your thought, and then we'll let you go.
Okay, and look out for yourself, because the government isn't really looking out for you.
I agree with you totally. God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
God bless. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And basically, I really fear that this is certainly part of the population control agenda. But they can't tell the American people that right now comfort care is being used to kill people in America. Hospices are being used to kill people in America, as exactly as they're doing in England. But go up on the internet and look up comfort care. Comfort care, certainly Google in comfort care, and understand that basically this is a program where people are, certainly they look like they may die, so they simply take away food and water and they give them a couple of good shots of morphine, and they're very comfortable. Before long, you don't have to care for them. I'm not exaggerating. Hospice is used in America. Some people are using it to euthanize people now. And before long, I believe the government's going to be euthanizing people. There really is a population control agenda. If you have not yet, of course, heard my talk on population control, the covert agenda, or my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan. They're on DVDs, and there's a syllabus with the Agenda 21. Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you live in California, I will be speaking next Sunday at the Long Beach Convention Center at the Health Freedom Expo. The Health Freedom Expo, and that's going to be 11 o'clock. I'll have a table there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's of this week, and I will be there starting Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, and all most of the Sunday. So if you have a question or comment, give us a call. 1-800-544-8927, because you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to really understand the dark forces that are aligned against freedom today. You can still get a case of the books, and it'll be 2 weeks from now. We're cutting that off, and we're closing it down. You won't be able to get a case again. I doubt I'll do another a printing of the book. We have between 50 and 100,000 copies of the book out across America. And certainly, I was just looking at it a few minutes for the afternoon program. And really, there's some very fascinating things there. It's a book you need to read and read and read again to understand what energizes the people who are intent upon using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government, who today are certainly sending American troops into 35 nations in Africa, who are today, of course, have already toppled Egypt and Tunisia and Libya and Turkey and Lebanon and turned them over to the Muslim Brotherhood. We've done the same thing in both Afghanistan and Iraq. Both of those countries now have constitutions under Sharia law and will soon be under the total control of the Muslim Brotherhood. Why did we go into Afghanistan and Iraq? Why, of course, to put them under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood? And people say, that's incredible. Why would we do that? Well, we have a book. It's called The Devil's Game. The Devil's Game, where did the Muslim Brotherhood come from? It was created by MI6, British Intelligence, which works hand in glove with the Brotherhood of Darkness here. And certainly the Muslim Brotherhood was then taken over by the CIA after the Second World War. And we are financing the Muslim Brotherhood today. And certainly it was the United States which toppled the government of Turkey and turned it over to the Muslim Brotherhood. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. You need to get the book, The Devil's Game. You need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talk on Agenda 21, The Covert Plan, and on Planned Parenthood, Population Control, The Covert Agenda. And then, of course, you need to tell other people about what's going on, listen to Radio Liberty, our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can hear our program 24 hours a day. Listen to the archives, listen to the live programs, and then please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountain to the prairie.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming in from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Tony Styles, who has his own radio programs and is very eloquent in his the things he covers there. And Tony, thank you very much for being with us. Why don't you sort of introduce yourself to our listeners?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. Radio Liberty, this is a fantastic program, and I commend you for having this on because it is important. Not only is it important, it is imperative that people listen to something like this to get the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And I do the same thing on my program, The Tony Styles Show. It's out of Omaha, Nebraska. You can go to thetonystyleshow.com, and you can listen to it there. Or you can go to tonystyles.com or Facebook. All you have to do, really, is Google Tony Styles, Tony with a Y, Styles with an I, to find me. I'm not hard to find. My personal view on things, I'm very social liberal and fiscally conservative when it comes to things. And a lot of what I deal with is not necessarily in the mainstream. And I believe wholeheartedly that the mainstream is keeping all these real stories from us. And that's what I try to cover on my show. And I commend you for doing the same thing on yours. It's absolutely fantastic.
All right, fine. Well, what are the major problems that are facing America today that you think would be well worthwhile talking about tonight?
Well worthwhile to talk about tonight?
Yeah, what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about what's going on in the Middle East, the Near East? Do you want to talk about what's happening economically?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, let's talk about what's going on.
America is making a mockery of themselves.
All right,
America is making a mockery of themselves internationally.
Well, let's talk
for a lot of different reasons.
Let's talk about what's going on in the Middle East, because I really believe this is a seething cauldron, and I believe there are going to be terrible, terrible things that are going to have a profound impact on America happening there probably within a relatively few months or certainly within a couple of years. And in the past, why we've been involved in conflicts all over the world over the season, Syria today, they've killed about 70,000 civilians, thousands of them innocent, helpless children. But we never talk about that here in America. I believe this is largely funded, certainly by our black operations here. We're behind this revolution in Syria. But I think there are going to be one day simply implications as far as America is concerned by what we're doing today, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Tony, you pick up the story. Let's get your view, because the people here hear my view all the time.
Sure. Well, my view of things, first of all, you have to start at the beginning with the war on terrorism, all right? What are we at war against? It's terrorism, all right, which is an ideal, not a people, but an idea. An idea of terrorism, let's terrorize the United States. We're at war against an idea, which is totally against what is considered to be just war, according to the just war theory of Thomas Aquinas and Augustine Hippo. This is not what they would consider to be a just war. Now, given that we are at war with these people because they attacked us first, and there's no doubt about that, all right? But they see us doing something against them, and the difference between us and them is they view their politics as religion, whereas we are a free nation, and we view what you do against us is against us as a whole. So we're at war against terrorism. They're at war against our ideal set, and much the same that we are in their eyes, a Christian nation that wants to get rid of all of them because of their religious views. And that's kind of a strange idea when you think deep into it. That's a really strange idea.
Well, do you think that the average person in America really wants to do away with the Muslim faith? I think we'd just as soon keep them over there, keep their faith over there, just don't try to force us to change our views. Do you think the average American really wants to do away with the Muslim faith?
No, I don't think they do. I think that America is made up of a bunch of patriots at heart that understand that all together as a collective, we can worship.
Hold that thought.
In a certain way. Yes.
Okay, Tony, go right ahead.
Just
speak right up there. Go ahead.
Sure, yeah. The Muslim faith in general, they view, because their countries are built off of their faith, and in our country, despite what most people hear and see, we're not built off the Christian faith. We're built off of the idea that we should all be free and have the freedom to worship as we believe.
But where do those ideas of freedom come from? Did they come from the Christian faith that our founding fathers had? Or do you think that ideas of freedom just came out of nowhere? There had to be a philosophical foundation for them, didn't there?
Well, sure. The philosophical foundation for it was we were oppressed by a country, which was Great Britain, that was trying to oppress us in a certain way, and we went ahead and said, no, we're going to do things our way. And our way is a sense of freedom. And if you go to Thomas Jefferson, a man who had no religious affiliation whatsoever, writing the Declaration of Independence, and that's where things start.
Well, wait a minute. Now, have you ever seen the Jefferson Memorial?
Oh yeah.
Inscribed in the marble is the statement: "God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. But can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble when I reflect that God is just, and His justice cannot sleep forever." Does that sound like the words of a man who doesn't believe in religion?
He doesn't believe in religion. He may believe in God, and he admitted to
well, but
believing
isn't,
in a higher
isn't,
power.
Isn't,
he
belief,
called it God.
Isn't a belief in God a belief in religion? It may not
be.
He didn't believe in
the organized religion.
He did not accept organized religion, but that didn't mean he didn't believe in God or he didn't have a religion. I mean, basically,
sure,
he represented
I'll agree
a belief. Okay, fine. So I think that's an important distinction. He was not an atheist. He did not accept Christianity. He did not accept all the provisions of Christianity, although many of the founding fathers did. But go right ahead.
Creationism, 100%. He was a creationist, without any doubt whatsoever. Absolutely, that's not up for debate.
Have you ever read the book, The Master Thoughts of Thomas Jefferson, published in 1907? If I could just suggest
I,
you
I
get
do,
that.
I do remember this. I've read a lot of books in my day, and I do remember something of this title.
If you read it,
refresh my memory if you can.
Thomas Jefferson went through many, many phases. At one time, he was very interested in the mystery religions and of course, in their promise and hope. But as he grew older, I think he moderated his views a great deal, and certainly in his latter days, he said he was going to stop worrying about a lot of these esoteric questions and place his head, and I can send you the pages if you'd like, on the soft pillow that Christ has provided for us, and we'll be right back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Tony Stiles, and he has his own program there in Ohio. And Tony, you go right ahead with your thoughts on America and the foundation
Ohio,
of our freedom.
We're pretty close. It's not Ohio. It's Omaha, Nebraska. But
Omaha, Nebraska.
Close.
Okay, go right ahead.
We're just as irrelevant.
Okay, fine. Well, you go right ahead.
Yeah. So Thomas Jefferson, we were at that thought, and you were going to explain to me the views in the book we were talking about, so you could refresh my memory. and that's where we...
Basically, there's a book which was published in 1907. It's one of those books which I think is very important. I keep it in my special library. And basically, we have probably close to 10, 15,000 books in our library. But this is one that I keep very close to me, because if I want to read what Jefferson really thought, and it's simply a compilation of his most important ideas. And of course, if you study Jefferson, you find out he was a very complex individual. Raised in a Christian home, he turned suddenly against the organized Christian beliefs as an adult. In fact, he even actually analyzed and went into the background of the mystery religions. And of course, these ideas that there was this esoteric or hidden force in the world, and he embraced much of this during a part of his adult life. But then as he grew older, and he actually, of course, drew closer to John Adams, and they were both retired presidents, why, of course, he began to understand that he was not going to understand really so much of what was going on. He said, you know, and I have this one, the letter that he wrote to Adams, where he said, you know, I'm simply going to stop worrying about all of these things and place my head on the soft pillow that Christ has prepared for us. And in other words, he was just going to quit trying to understand all the complex issues of the world, because he knew he would never solve them. He was a brilliant man. We're certainly indebted to him.
There's a lot to be said for that statement. There's a lot to be said for that statement that he made.
Right,
because I struggle much in the same way. And myself, I was a Baptist minister, and I was a Baptist missionary to Romania. And I struggle much in the same way Thomas Jefferson does. Now, I haven't turned my back on organized religion by any means, not by any stretch of the imagination. But I understand what he means in the way of, you know, there's a lot out there. And we have what is in the Bible. It says straight out, this life is just a breath. Breathe in, breathe out. In the whole grand scheme of eternity, that's all life is. So we spend a lot of time trying to study and understand what the Bible really means and what is out there for us. But at the same time, maybe there should be that certain amount of mystery out there. Maybe we shouldn't get so hung up on the little words here and there that get lost in the translation between English and Greek or English and Latin or whatever it may be. There's a lot to be said for that, and I think that's what he meant when he made that statement. And going back to what I mean by he struggles a lot in the same way that I do, and this life is just a breath, breathe in, breathe out, and it's over in the whole sense of eternity. How that hits home with me is when we come around to it in our last days, when we're on our deathbed, and then this life is taken away from us, and we are then all of a sudden in that line, or I can't even begin to imagine what it may be, on our way into the light and into heaven, or wherever the next step is. I believe personally that our next step is staying there at the gate and telling them our name and whether accepted or not, and that's what I believe. But when we get to that point, it's promised to us that we're going to understand it all. Once we get in there, we're going to have eternity to fully understand and embrace and stand in God's glory and worship and understand fully what he means. So should we get hung up on all the little bits and pieces? I understand that's probably what Jefferson was saying when he said that, and I feel much the same way.
And I think that's really a very accurate appraisal. Certainly we have a number of sects of Christianity. We have the two major, Catholic, Protestant. From the Protestant, we've got dozens of different, whether it be Protestant, whether it be Presbyterian or Congregational.
And I have
or
a big
something.
Problem with that, too. I have a big problem with that, too, because Christ had one faith.
That's right.
Shouldn't religion have all one faith?
But you see, these are all men's interpretation of Christianity rather than certainly looking
tough.
To God.
That's
and that is
where Jefferson was too.
Right, and I think that's where Jefferson was too. Okay, fine. Well, we don't want to suddenly spend our time simply arguing about religion, but I will tell you, I'm probably a little older than you are. And as I look back
I would guarantee you are.
And so basically, I look back over 84 years, and I can see God's hand in my life all this time. Why? I have no idea. Why me? Why I know so many people who do what I do who actually died or been killed, or people who've been very outspoken about what's going on in the world. A number of the people I've interviewed have been have come to an unusual end, let's put it that way, and we're still here. And sure. A number of people have been sued. Their lives have been destroyed. Why we're doing what we're doing after 20 years, I have no idea. But I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think that God does guide our lives, just as he guides international events. And I really, as I look and see what's going on in the Middle East today, it doesn't make any sense. I look and see what's going on in the Near East. It doesn't make any sense. And yet, of course, there's a reason for it. And our only hope is that we can understand what's going on and at least let our listeners understand so they can begin to prepare for what I feel are the very, very difficult times that lie ahead. But you go right ahead, Tony.
Sure. Well, we have a lot of things going on.
Go right ahead. Tony, are you there? I hope we didn't lose Tony. Tony, are you there? I think we lost Tony. I'm going to ask my producer to get Tony back on the line. But I think it's basically, of course, if you could not really understand so many of the things that are happening in the world today. In fact, I suddenly was contemplating writing a little addition to our newsletter, the latest newsletter. How do we explain what's going on, essentially, between Israel and Syria today? Well, basically, of course, what most people don't understand is that Israel is probably, now I'm not saying absolutely, but Israel is probably going to invade Syria in the very near future. Why is Israel going to invade Syria? Well, because Syria has massive supplies of chemical weapons, and I really believe this is accurate, that it's said that Syria has the third largest supply of chemical weapons anywhere in the world. And they have biological weapons as well. And so the government of Assad, President Assad, is going to fall in the not-too-distant future. And Tony is, I'm hoping we get Tony back on. I'm going to ask my producer to give him a call. But anyway, of course, basically, the Syrians have these large supply of chemical and nuclear weapons. They're probably going they're going to be turned over to the terrorists. The terrorists are going to capture them. The Israelis cannot allow that, and so they are going to invade Syria so that the terrorists can't do that. Now, of course, if the terrorists had the chemical weapons, they would use them against Israel. So basically, then, how can we make any sense out of this? Where would Assad have gotten the third largest supply of chemical weapons in the world? Well, he got them from Saddam Hussein. And Saddam Hussein sent those weapons to Assad just before the Second Gulf War began. Why did Assad do that? Well, pardon me, why did Hussein do that? Hussein sent them because he didn't want to give George Bush an excuse to invade Saddam. Invade Iraq. Of course, we invaded Iraq anyway. Well, then the question is, where did Saddam get his chemical weapons? And of course, Saddam got his chemical weapons from the United States. Why would we give him a massive supply of chemical weapons to Hussein during, and actually he got them, Saddam Hussein got the chemical weapons during the Afghan War in the 1980s. Why did the United States give those chemical weapons to Hussein? Well, it doesn't make any sense, really, unless you understand that maybe this whole thing has been scripted so that at this time in history, why we would have exactly what's going on. In other words, there would be a justification for Israel to invade Syria. Do I know that for a fact? No. But it's something that's very interesting to contemplate. And it looks like Tony Stiles has dropped off and is not coming back onto our program for whatever reason. Tony Stiles simply hung up on us and is not available. So it's going to be open lines. And I'm going to invite you out there in the listening audience to call, because I have nothing organized other than to point out that as we look and see what's going on, and the fact that in all probability, Israel is going to invade Syria in the very near future to keep the chemical and biological weapons from falling into the hands of the terrorists, Syria has chemical and biological weapons because Saddam Hussein sent them to Syria just before the Second Gulf War started. And, of course, Saddam Hussein got his chemical weapons from the United States in the 1980s. And none of this would make sense unless you understand, and I think God's hand is in this, that at this point in history, Israel is going to need a justification to invade Syria. And whether America will be involved in that or not, I just don't know. We're going to have to wait to see how this thing plays out. But I anticipate that certainly the way things are looking in Syria today, certainly the terrorists over there, who incidentally are largely funded by the United States, they're Al-Qaeda terrorists, we're funding them. These Al-Qaeda terrorists are going to take that country. They've already taken large regions of Damascus. They've taken some of the air bases over there. They're certainly taking the area adjacent to Israel. And certainly we're going to have to be doing open lines. We're living in very unusual times. Syria will probably fall within the next 6 months. I don't see any way that they're going to be able to hold out against this massive onslaught. Now, none of this will come to pass if the United Nations or some other organization should come in, but I don't see that happening. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be open lines. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. I don't have anything planned. I don't know why Tony dropped off, but give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call.
Far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land.
Makes you think of Blake, doesn't it? makes you think of a lot of things. We're going to be in this yet, Mom.
Hello, son.
Hi, Mom.
Hello, darling.
New song?
Brand new, first time in the air.
Brand new, my eye. You know, I threw that song out of Yip Yip Yap Hang 22 years ago. Sounds better now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and unfortunately, maybe fortunately, who knows, we're going to be doing open lines the rest of this hour. The gentleman who was on with us initially, I guess, was a little unhappy when I challenged his view that certainly Thomas Jefferson didn't believe in God, and so he just hung up on us, which is, well, that I guess that's his business. Anyway, we've got Tom calling us from Spokane, Washington. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. It's open lines, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And hi, Tom, how are we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dr. Stan?
Well, I was doing fine until my guest hung up on me.
That's
go
okay.
Right ahead.
I'll fill in for him anytime.
All so. Right. Go ahead.
He can go back where he came from. You were talking about the chemical weapons in Afghanistan, and I remember that Afghanistan and Iran were in a war at that time, and it's quite possible the United States, you know, knowing that Saddam Hussein used chemical weapons on the Kurds, that he wouldn't hesitate to use it on Iran, and if the United States was hoping that he would do so, that's maybe one of the motivations. I'm not suggesting it was, but it occurred to me that that's a possibility.
They killed hundreds of thousands of Iranian soldiers. They lost about 1 million people, and a lot of them were lost because of the chemical weapons. And actually, I interviewed many years ago a fellow from the Green Berets who had actually been sent over there, assigned to the Iraqi army, and his job was to help them use the chemical weapons to kill the Iranians. Now, this is a violation of all international laws, but we don't abide by international laws. Our leaders are above international law. And they simply killed hundreds of thousands of Iranians with those chemical weapons, and they used them on one of the Kurdish towns as well. And those were American chemical weapons. Go right ahead, Tom.
Well, and it makes sense that that's why George Bush was completely convinced that they had the chemical weapons. And I'm sure they probably did, because they were privy to information that we didn't have. And they were smart enough to get them out of their country, and obviously they shipped them, you know.
They shipped them to Syria, and George
right.
Bush knew he didn't have chemical and biological
right.
weapons, but he wanted an excuse to go to invade Iraq. That's what it was all about. In fact,
right.
I personally believe that the whole incident on September 11, 2001, when they brought down the Twin Towers and Building Number 7 by controlled demolition. How do I know that? Well, because of Jimmy Walters, and you can go up on the Internet, Jimmy Walter. Walter, multimillionaire. I have a number of interviews with him. And he spent $8 million of his own money running ads in the New York Times and New York Television saying the Twin Towers came down by controlled demolition. You know what happened? They threatened his life. They threatened his secretary's life. She quit on him. They destroyed his car. The FBI refused to help him at all. Certainly, he had repeated attempts on his life. He eventually moved to Austria. And you can go up on the Internet and you can hear an interview with him about a year ago where he talks about how they even tracked him over there to try to intimidate him and silence him. If there's nothing to conceal, why are they intimidating Jimmy Walter? Look his name up on the Internet. There's no question the Twin Towers came down. They were controlled demolition. There's no question Building 7 was controlled demolition. You can see them come down on my website. See the top of the Twin Towers disintegrate before the rest of the buildings began to disintegrate. And then understand that we had to have a justification so the American people to be willing to go first to a war with Afghanistan and then into Iraq. It was all unnecessary. Go ahead.
Yeah, I concur with you. I was never satisfied with their explanation of why those buildings came down, and it was pretty obvious that there was something more to it. And
but poor old Jimmy Walter, he's actually living over in Austria today. But they're watching him there, and basically, yeah. Of course, they're watching me, they're watching you, they're watching all of us. But he, of course, had the money to actually have a tremendous impact. And in New York City, almost half of the people in New York believe that this was controlled demolition that brought the buildings down because of Jimmy Walter, and that's why they threatened his life, and they threatened his secretary, and they threatened everything about him, and they destroyed his car, and they certainly broke into his home repeatedly. And they're doing the same thing over in Austria. But you can actually find this all up on the Internet. Certainly there's an interview that was done with him on, I think, September 11, 2001, 10 years after the accident. And it's fascinating to hear him tell about what happened to him simply because he tried to tell the truth. Go right ahead, Tom.
Well, Dr. Stan, I appreciate your program. And that was just my thoughts on that, is that the motivation for those chemical weapons was the hope that they would use them on Iran.
And they did.
Obviously, Iran survived because they're still a force to be reckoned with.
Well, I think that there's going to be a war with Iran in the near future, too. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I think it's going to have implications here.
Yes, I agree. Well,
hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go ahead, Tom. Have anything else you wanted to say?
No, Dr. Stan. Just take care of yourself, and thanks for your program, and hope you have a good rest of your evening, and some other people will call in.
God bless, and basically just keep us in your prayers, please.
Yes, Dr.
God bless. Okay, well, let's go then to Dee, who's calling us from Idaho. Hi, Dee. How are we doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Well, I just wanted to try to give you an update on our fight here to stop the Obamacare exchange in Idaho.
Okay, great. Please, thank you so very much for keeping us updated on what's going on up there in Idaho.
Well, unfortunately, it has passed the Idaho State Senate, and the vote in the committee was 12-1 to approve an Obamacare-style exchange. And unfortunately, I feel our county was sort of left out of the mix because two of our three senators are actually opposed to it. But we still have the legislature, and just as in the federal, the lower house controls the purse strings. So the bill will not reach Governor Otter's desk unless the legislature says so, and certainly not in its present form without amendments. But we have to keep their feet to the fire. So let me announce that number yet again. It's 208-332-1000. 208-332-1000. You can send emails to your representatives and tell them that we don't need an Obamacare exchange. The Goldwater Institute has said that this thing is unsustainable, and the initial estimates are getting $10 to $20 million, but it's going to look more like $80 million. And Dr. Stan, when somebody else controls it and you pay for it, what do you call that?
Well, it's a pretty bad deal, that's for sure. But basically, would that be $80 million just for Idaho to have this exchange?
Yeah, that's going to be that's the estimate, I think, from the Goldwater outfit. Anyway, it's a rhetorical question, and it amounts to fascism. That's a textbook definition of fascism. It's when you pay and someone else has control.
But the thing is that this is going to lead to the destruction of the quality of medical care in America. You cannot have certainly us bureaucrats determining how medicine should be practiced. That has to be left up to the doctor, and the doctor-patient relationship is going to be destroyed under this Obamacare. Or I'd like to say abominable care, but go ahead.
Yeah, I exactly agree. There's also a petition, an online petition that can be signed at idahofreedom.net.
Hold that thought, because I want our people up there in Idaho to hear what you're saying. Hang on, we'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. It's open lines. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And our guest for this hour had hung up on us at about 30 minutes after I challenged his statement. And here's a man who says he was a Protestant minister and been a Protestant missionary, and yet he says that there's certainly no religious foundation to America, and our freedoms come from freedom and not from God. And our founding fathers didn't believe in God, and Thomas Jefferson didn't believe in God. And when I simply quoted the poem that is written there, or the statement that is written on the Jefferson Memorial chiseled in the marble there, why, of course, well, he hung up on us. Anyway, that's unfortunate. I certainly didn't want to try to change his beliefs. I just wanted to be sure we were putting out the correct information. But we have Dee calling from Idaho, and of course they're trying to set up an exchange there in Idaho. And Dee is part of a group that's trying to get the legislature to say, no, we're not going to put up the money. It's going to cost, well, they say $20 million. It's probably going to cost at least $80 million to set up this exchange. And this, you have to have this. State has to set this up. In the individual states, and I will tell you, I think so far, 27 states have said, we're not going to go along with this plan for socialized medicine and euthanasia under the guise of affordable health care. Dee, why don't you tell our listeners the telephone number to call if they'd like to let their legislatures know what a terrible job this is and what a terrible program it's going to be, and how they can sign the petition and help you and the other people in Idaho who are trying to block what is unconstitutional and is actually part of a planned program to bankrupt America and to kill off the elderly. But go ahead, Dee.
Yes, sir. That number is in Boise, and that number is area code 208-332-1000.
No, repeat it again. You always repeat the telephone number twice.
Yes, sir. Area code 208-332-1000.
Okay, and then how can they sign the petition?
Well, You tell a nice lady there, and she'll transcribe your remarks to the legislators and your state senator in the form of an email. And you just say we know to an exchange, a state Obamacare exchange. Then there are two online positions also. There's one, saveoursovereignty.com. That's saveoursovereignty.com. And then the other one is idahofreedom.net, idahofreedom.net. And both of those are very fine organizations, and they're fighting the cause of liberty.
Okay, very good. Well, I appreciate so much what you're doing up there, Dee. Are you getting a lot of support from the people there in Idaho?
We are indeed. What's very confounding and consternating is that there doesn't seem to be a lot of response from the legislators. They're hell-bent on forcing us down our throats.
But you have to understand that the whole legislative process is rigged. They rigged the elections. We have these electronic voting machines. And you can rig any electronic voting machines. That's why they have them. And we do not have a representative government. We will not have it until we get back to paper ballots that are counted by hand. And there's a record of them in every precinct. And so we need to start talking about that so people understand that these people rig elections. They steal elections. They're not interested in representative government. They're interested in top-down government. They're interested in fascist control. They're interested in killing off the elderly, and that's what Obamacare is really all about, affordable euthanasia. Go ahead. Anything else?
Well, certainly. All of your points are very well taken, but I think in our state it's fairly simple that half of our we're a small state. You'd laugh at this. Compared to California, Idaho has a $2 billion budget, and $1 billion of it, half of that budget is the education, so-called government education. And it's those legislators that are on the education committees that are most aligned with the teachers' unions that are pushing this exchange. And well, I'll name some names. Representative Ed Morse, very liberal, Senator John Getty, and Representative Luke Malik. And these are the people that tend to go along, that lawyers are good, new laws are good, education is good.
Well, Dee, what you have to do is get started and figuring either recall them or replace them when they come up for election. You may even want to recall them, but in the process of that, you can educate the people, and you can certainly call us anytime and let us know what you're doing. We'll be glad to let you reach the people there and get as many people as you can to listen to Radio Liberty, will you?
Yeah, you're well heard. I want to mention one thing really quickly.
Okay.
In the same place, same time. The last town hall meeting was last Saturday at noon. Same place, same time. It's in the meeting room at the Coeur d'Alene Public Library, Saturday, March 2nd. And the guest speaker will be Dr. Lowell Fenwick. He's an OB gynecologist, practiced in South Africa, UK, and Spokane, published in medical journals, and he's going to explain in great detail from a medical person's point of view why the exchange is a horrible idea. And this is sponsored by Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes' outfit. I'm sure you're familiar with them.
I certainly am. I think it's great. In fact, if you want to call me off the air and give me the a telephone number of that doctor or get it for me, I'd like to have him on as one of our guests to discuss Medicare, Obamacare. We need people to understand what a disaster this is going to be, because it may very well cost the lives of millions of our senior citizens.
Yeah, I really wish you had been there to hear Representative Gary Ingram. He stood up at the very end. He's a retired fellow. He hasn't served in the legislature for something like 20 or 30 years, and he read them the Riot Act. He basically said, you're going against the will of the people with this, and these bureaucracies, once established, are almost impossible to stop, and you're basically, what you're debating is the color of lipstick to put on the pig.
Amen to that. Hey, Dee, God bless you. Thanks so much, and keep in post. Is it okay?
We'll do that. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome, and let's go to, we have Paul calling from Texas. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. It's open lines, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Paul, do you have a question or comment?
Well, I noticed the subjects are changing from that. Dr. Stan, I've been listening to you for years, and I guess I've seen just about everything that you've ever done on film, and I just thought I'd throw something in here. I'm a researcher, and I studied the Bible for years, and one thing that I had wondered was why that God hated witchcraft so much. And sorcery, and, you know, and a lot of things. You know, I had researched this. I had never got into witchcraft, but I, you know, went to their websites and read their stuff and all to understand it. And the name Hollywood, you know, we look at TV and there's never anything on, you know, that comes out of Hollywood. And I started researching the word Hollywood. And Harry Potter's magic wand is made out of Hollywood.
Oh, that's interesting. I never thought of that, but you're, of course, basically what the occult does, it taps into the other spiritual force. They're basically a spiritual war between good and evil, between God and Satan. It's not imaginary. It's real. There really are, of course, angelic beings. There really are, I guess, dark angels or satanic beings and Luciferian beings, followers of Lucifer. They're not imaginary, they're real. And certainly there is another dimension where this war is being fought. It's described in the Bible. I believe it's real until the American people understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield, but it's really a spiritual battle and part of the battle of good against evil. And believing there is evil in the world today, go right ahead, Paul.
Well, now, you know about Georgia Guidestone.
Absolutely. In fact, I was probably one of the first people ever to describe him. I described him back in the early 1990s, and since then a lot of people have talked about him. But I've been there. We've done a lot of research on that. But go ahead.
Whenever you were there, did you notice that it is encircled by holly bushes or holly trees all the way around?
No, I really didn't. In fact, I don't recall any trees around there, but maybe they planted them since I was there. I haven't been there in many years. I was there in the early 1990s.
I have never been there, but I had, you know, researched it and watched videos of people who went there, and there was one, you know, at least one person that went there that had pointed out the holly bushes.
I really didn't. I remember it very, very well. It's a big empty field with this big granite monument sitting in it. But maybe they planted them since I was there. But under any circumstances, this is an occult monument. And for those people out there who don't know, this is the Ten Commandments that come from the dark side. It was erected in 1980, as I remember, by a man who called himself R.C. Christian, but he admitted that wasn't his name. He said he was part of a secret society, but he would never reveal who was there, but because they put out a great deal of money to build this monument, and of course it is basically a call for a world government, and of course to our allegiance to that world government, and then of course for the elimination of the vast majority of the people in the world. And the first of the Ten Commandments from the dark side says, maintain humanity at less than 500 million in constant balance with nature. Maintain humanity at less than 500 million in constant balance with nature. They're talking about killing off over 90% of the population of the world, and they're already in the process of doing it, and in the coming great wars that are going to occur, this is going to take place. But if you've read the Revelation, you will find Revelation 6:8 tells us that they're going to kill off initially a quarter of the population of the world. And then you get to Revelation 6:9, and things really get bad. They wipe out another third of the population. And of course, what the Georgia Guidestones is a call is a fulfillment of the prophecies of the Revelation. Go right ahead.
Well, now, another one to ponder is whenever Congress is in session, focus your eyes on both sides of where the Speaker of the House is, and the fasci is on the wall. It's hidden in plain sight, which is a symbol for fascism. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes, I have. Go ahead.
Well, that was, you know, these things are hidden in plain sight. It's just like in riddles and stones. You know,
just like on the back of our dollar bill, the
right.
Occult emblem, certainly the pyramid capped by an all-seeing eye, and certainly if you look at the caption underneath, calling for the Novus Ordo Seclorum, the New World Order, certainly. And basically, they're talking about the one world government that, of course, God had prevented from being formed at the time of Nimrod, and they've been trying to create it ever since then. But right now, we're on the verge of establishing that world government under the auspices of the United Nations, and that is why, of course, we're sending our troops into Africa, why we have our troops in over 130 nations, controlling those nations, preparing to bring them into the world government. When you understand that, it all makes sense. Go ahead, Paul.
And, you know, this has been going on a long time. This wasn't something that just came up overnight. If you go back to our old coins, and you look at the Mercury dime. Well, this, you know, Mercury was basically Hermes, the messenger of the gods on our coin.
And it had the fascist symbol there on the back of the dime.
Right, exactly.
Right. Okay, anything else?
Well, the last thing is if you look at the old barber coin, they had, when you look at it, it is Apollo on the coin. They called him Barber. But anyway, I won't take the rest of the time, let somebody else come in, and I'll... I just thought you might find it interesting.
We're living in fascinating times, and if I didn't know that, Lord, I'd be scared to death.
God bless.
Thanks very much. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and we've got Bruce calling it from Michigan. Hi, Bruce. How are we doing?
Okay. I had a question about Lincoln and a comment on Hollywood.
Okay, fine. First of all, our telephone number is 888-24-LIBERTY, 888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, 888-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. But go right ahead, Bruce.
Okay, I think Hollywood, like our universities now, is just a place of darkness. People ought to just pitch it all in the garbage, especially since the censors were taken away back in the late 60s. I can't believe I used to rent movies that, you know, video rental places. Everything since probably the early 70s. It's just a bunch of garbage.
Well, basically, there are some wonderful Christian films out there.
Oh, yeah.
My son actually subscribes to Netflix, and since he gets Christian films from him, they will write to him and say, we think you'd like these other films. And basically, they're wonderful Christian films, and we need to get people actually getting those films. They're being produced by Christians. The information is there, but the average Christian wouldn't even know how to get hold of them. Wonderful, wonderful Christian messages put out on film, but so much of it, as you say, is trash, but the Christians, once again, we see this conflict between good and evil. The Christians are working The evil people are working, trying to destroy the foundation of our civilization and promote sexuality and homosexuality and everything that is good and evil, whereas the Christians are trying to push everything that is noble and worthwhile. So,
strange how that homosexuality issue is being inserted into what's happening over in the Vatican.
Like, well, but you see, basically they've infiltrated the Vatican. The men of the cardinals are homosexuals. Men of the cardinals are pedophiles. In fact, I got a call just this evening from a Catholic who's very informed, and he said that one reason that the Pope was resigning was because basically there's information out on this group of cardinals who are homosexuals and pedophiles, and they're blackmailing other cardinals to join with them because they have the information that they themselves are homosexuals. Tremendous amount of homosexuality there in the Vatican itself, at the highest levels of the Vatican. And just shows how the devil works within the Catholic Church and is working there today.
I have a very, very difficult question for you. I hate giving you these difficult questions, but because Lincoln is being trumpeted all over the culture here because of the Oscar that went to that film. What do you think of Abraham Lincoln?
I think
the movie, but the man.
I think Abraham Lincoln was a remarkable individual, but I think the Civil War was not fought about slavery. Most people think it was. The Emancipation Proclamation was not issued until 1863, almost 2 years after the war began. It all had to do with certainly the South wanted to secede from the Union because, of course, the North was exploiting it. It was was using tariffs. So the people in the South could not buy products that they wanted to from other countries. They were discriminated against the South and its certainly agricultural background, and they were promoting the North, its industrial background. And that's what it was all about, was the total unfairness of society.
Well,
and the South wanted to succeed, and they should have been allowed to secede.
I'm glad you say that. God bless you. You know, I hate asking difficult questions over the air like this, but I agree completely. I think the Antichrist and the concentrated federal bureaucracies would not exist except for Abraham Lincoln and what happened at that time. I think he was willing to kill every Georgian, every Carolinian, every Texan to keep them in the Union, and that is not the love of freedom.
You're
willing to kill everybody to make them free. That's not the. If he really believed in freedom, he should have let the South be free.
But, of course, that was not the way things were, and I'm sure God had a hand in this whole thing. It's bring us to where we are today. Anyway, God bless, Bruce.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, and, of course, this is Dr. Stan. We're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program right here at Radio Liberty.
be late.
No.
White with gold. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop? Right, son.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and we're dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs. If you're in a position to help, we ask you to consider subscribing to our newsletter, joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, donating to us. Certainly, if you'd like to get the four CD sets or four tape sets or DVDs or books or all the things we have, they all certainly go into the pot to help pay for the network of radio stations we have across America. And we have about 50 stations every week that are outlets that carry one or another of our programs. And so if you're in a position to help us, you know, finance the shortwave and the satellite and all the fact that you can hear us on the internet and the iPod and the iPhone and the telephones, and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And I realize there are a lot of you out there who are having real financial problems and can't help us financially, but we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, to pray for our provision and our protection, because at least we're still going, and I know a lot of people who are doing what we're doing and not. So please pray for our staff and for our family and for our ministry, that it will touch people's hearts. And then, of course, we hope that if you would like to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you will. If you'd like to get a case of the books, we'll be offering them for another 2 weeks, and after that, we probably won't offer them at a decreased price again, because, of course, this will probably be the last major printing we do. But we have between 50 and 100,000 copies of the book out there, and it has touched many people's lives. And it's easy reading, but it will explain to you what's really going on today, and you will understand the spiritual battle that is being fought for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. The book, Brotherhood of Darkness, if you would like to get a single copy, or you'd like to get a case of the books at a marked decreased price, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get certainly the four CD set on deadly assassins. It goes into where I actually interview assassins, government assassins. Those are four CD sets. We do have an old four tape set on Congressman Larry McDonald. He was certainly one of the leading conservatives in America in 1983. When the plane he was on, 007, was forced down on Sakhalin Island, and all the people on board were taken prisoner and actually were put into Soviet prisons, where they've languished, and certainly neither the conservative movement or conservative organizations or even Larry McDonald's family would come up with the money for our Bob Fletcher to actually get a filmed interview with the man who was in the cell next to Larry McDonald in the Soviet Union. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is not imaginary. Get our four CD set on Deadly Assassins, where I interview government assassins. These things are not imaginary. They're real. We have a four CD set on the USS Liberty. That was a United States ship. It was an intelligence gathering ship. It was attacked by the Israelis in 1967. I think 37 Americans were killed. Probably close to 100 were wounded. And, of course, this was all contrived by Lyndon Johnson. They wanted an excuse to go to war. They had an excuse. They had to have an excuse to go to war with the Egyptians. So they were going to have the Israelis sink the ship and kill everybody on board. And then we would say the Egyptians did it just exactly as we said. Oh, the Twin Towers. It was the terrorists that brought them down, ladies and gentlemen. It was controlled demolition. Have you doubt that? Go under my website and look under other videos. You can watch the Twin Towers come down and you can see them. Notice how the tops of the towers, the area above where the planes hit, simply disintegrate before the planes collapse. Watch Building 7 come down, how the center of the roof collapses, and then the base of the building collapses. A controlled demolition. And they killed all those people there that day, and of course they gave the families of the survivors all each $1 million to keep them quiet. You can never let the American people know that they killed all those Americans, just like they wanted to kill all the men aboard the USS Liberty. The information is available from Radio Liberty. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to us there on the internet, iPod, iPhone. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
Radio show. It is 25 February 2013. It is Monday. Thank you for joining us. Caring about your world. It's all about new year, new you. We don't want to forget about that. New year, new you. Are you doing something good for yourself? Are you kind of pushing yourself to go do some things that perhaps you haven't done before? I hope so. We've got to get as fit as we can. More information regarding SARS, regarding the flus, the colds, the whatever coming down the pike, the diseases that are all impacted by having a low immune system. So what do? We keep that immune system high. And how do you do that? By what you eat, what you drink, and exercise, sunlight, so many things that we can do for ourselves that really don't take a lot of money. They just take action. And they take getting off the couch, and they take motivation. So I hope you're doing those things, because as I watch the stories that are being released about new viruses never seen before, I figure they're in the laboratories cooking up some stuff